The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. This program is supported by funds from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Bushu in the Nawe Magani Duk, Beshiku Benesia Kwe Indigo, Mang and Du Dame, Elaine Fleming and Dishina Kaz. Gaos the Squadjame Kag in Dunjaba, Gaye, Gamisquawa Kokag in Da. Bushu, today I want to talk about general histories as compared to people's histories. You know, in 1992, there was a 500th year anniversary of the voyage of Christopher Columbus to the Americas. And there was this celebration about the discovery and conquest of the Americas, in which Spain budgeted $14 billion for the celebrations and actually built a flotilla to reenact that voyage. The United States government set aside $28 billion. This celebration of Columbus's coming to America brought many profound questions to the indigenous peoples of the Americas. And it also brought many positive outcomes. There were counter demonstrations during those times, and there were many special events. For instance, indigenous delegates who represented 120 indigenous nations and organizations who met in Ecuador to organize a hemispheric response. The counter actions and protests, they nurtured a major revisionist movement among historians and anthropologists and other scholars, in order for them to better interpret the colonization of the Americas. So general histories, what are they? General histories are recorded through the eyes of the colonizers from their own ethnic backgrounds, such as the pioneers, the empire builders. And these people are generally white males of property and great influence. General histories are written by these historians to tell about the conquest and development of the nation states, such as the United States of America. As a reaction to the story about Columbus and the stories of the indigenous peoples that were not shared with the general public about this nation state, people's histories began to be shared. People's histories tell about the people of particular areas, like Leech Lake. People's histories tell about the indigenous peoples, their geographical space, and their contribution to the nation state, like the United States of America. For instance, many people do not know about the many, many confederacies that were here when the colonizers came, and how the United States Constitution was actually patterned after the Iroquois Confederacy and their constitution. General histories are also divided into specific historical periods. The history of the United States is divided into the colonial period, the early years of the Republic, the Civil War period, and so on. Yet for our people, these eras are different. We wouldn't talk about the colonial period because during that time, we were still acting as independent nations. We were making treaties with other nations. Another example of an era for us is the removal era, the 1830s to the 1850s. And this era began with the 1830 Indian Removal Act. And it leads us to one of the hidden heritages of our peoples that people in Minnesota are very unaware of, which is the Sandy Lake tragedy of 1850. This was a time when the United States of America was expanding westward. There was huge, huge immigration into the United States. They were building cities and roads and railroads. And they needed timber. They needed timber and they needed land. So they began looking north to the land of the Ojibwe people in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota. And so at that time, the annuity station was at Madeline Island, which is in the northern part of Wisconsin, right outside of Red Cliff. And so they decided at that time they wanted to remove all the Ojibwe people out of Michigan and out of Wisconsin, and they wanted to move them into the territory of which Minnesota was occupying. So they decided they would give the annuities out at Sandy Lake, which is just north of Mille Lacs. And during that time, 4,000 Ojibwe gathered at Sandy Lake. And the annuity payment was supposed to be held on October 25th, 1850. They say that many times they would hold these types of annuity payments. They would hold them late in the year. And the thought was that the Ojibwe traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles, if they got to the Sandy Lake area, that because of the coldness, they might winter over. They might stay over the winter, and then in the spring, they might just stay there. That would open up all the lands in Michigan and Wisconsin for the settlers and for the expansion of the United States. The Ojibwe people, when they came there from northern Minnesota also. And they came and they had a lot of food, but the area in around Sandy Lake, the Ojibwe people had had a hard year, and so there was a lot of hunger there, or they didn't have enough food to really share. When the Ojibwe people got there, the annuities were not given out as promised. And so the Ojibwe spent a six-week period there in the early winter. And 170 of them died from the meager and contaminated foods that were given to them and from illness. They finally got their annuity payments on October 3rd. The annuity payments were completed December 3rd, 1850, and most of the Ojibwe went home. The rivers were frozen, the waterways on which they traveled by canoe, and so they walked. Traveling home, more than 230 of the people died. It's estimated that there was a total of 400 Ojibwe people died. It was something like 12% of the population of the Ojibwe population of Wisconsin. Approximately 1,500 Ojibwe had come to Sandy Lake from northern Minnesota. And with them, the families came, the women and the children, along with the men. They came from Leech Lake and from other communities. And their deaths were not counted in that 400. So Leech Lakers remembered the Sandy Lake as the burying place of their friends. And there are a couple of stories that are shared about the deaths of a family from Cass Lake and a family from Leech Lake. In the Cass Lake story, it said that there was a brother and sister returning home, and they had food, and the brother, he got sick, and he died shortly afterwards, after they left Sandy Lake. He died halfway home, and his sister refused to leave him there. She waited for 2 days for another group of people to come along and to help her bury him. The Leech Lake story is about a family, a man and his wife, their two children, and the wife's brother. They had traveled from Sandy Lake, and they were heading home to Leech Lake. Halfway there, the brother got sick, and the family was detained for several days. The brother died, and they buried him, and then the family continued on to Leech Lake. Then the two children got sick. The boy was 12, and the little girl was 2 years old. And by that time, their food was all gone. They said the father carried his sick son, and the mother carried her daughter. The last night before reaching Leech Lake, though, the son, he died. And the next morning, the parents set off, the father carrying his dead son on his back, and the mother was still carrying her sick child, her daughter. Around noon that day, the little girl died. The parents, they continued on, and they carried their children, their dead children, on their backs home to Leech Lake. These are some of our stories, stories about the Sandy Lake tragedy that are not known by the general public, and they should be known. Miigwech bizindaw wiyeg. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah,